Welcome to the Salt Circle Podcast. My name is Hank. With me, always, is Ben.
Hang on. Hi. Yeah. Peanut butter mouth.
You dying?
No, just lots of peanut butter. Just everywhere. Look, man, this is my supper. Probably. Like, four spoonfuls.
This podcast just fucking drenched in peanut butter.
I'm just, you know, I feel like maybe if people catch wind of me, maybe I'll get like a sponsorship from Skippy. It'd be nice.
See, now you've ruined your chances at sponsorships with other peanut butter companies. You blew it, Ben.
I don't want a sponsorship. No other peanut butter company produces an equally tasty 4-pound jar of extra crunchy super chunk peanut butter. I've tried. Literally, I have searched. You know I'm about that gourmet PB life.
Okay. What are we talking about today? Star Wars?
Or peanut butter, depending on the...
War of Stars.
Or Star Wars. Celestial skirmishes.
Davin Felth.
What now?
You know. Davin Felth. You know, Star Wars.
Is that that stormtrooper with the...
Yep.
Probably my favorite thing in the extended universe.
I mean, my favorite thing is Luke.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking good. Yeah.
We're talking about more Star Wars comic books.
Hell yeah.
Next batch of stuff. Continuing adventures of Star Wars in comic book form at Marvel Comics.
I will preface this by saying the only ones that I didn't really review too much were the canon ones.
Mm-hmm.
Kanan. I haven't seen Rebels, so I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Me either.
He's like a main character. Must not be in the first episode, or they don't say his name. Maybe not that main of a character. Anyway, I didn't look over those, but I remember what I wanted to talk about mostly with them, so it should be fine.
Okay. And again, I didn't read Forces of Destiny off your list because that's not on Marvel Unlimited.
Yep. And doesn't, so like, there's not a whole lot to talk about with it.
Okay.
I mean, wait, are we going to... Do you want to start with that one? Just, like, knock it out?
Sure. All right. Tell me about the thing I didn't read.
Yeah, so Forces of Destiny is a nice little collection of, like, mini-stories. And I mean, like, a nice little collection. I think I knocked the whole thing out in, like, 15 minutes. Maybe less. Like, it's based on the animated web series that was on YouTube. They're doing more of it, I believe. So it's those same stories, but in comic book form. And I think it's primarily targeting, like, the younger female audience. Like, it focuses on the female characters. So you have a Leia one, a Padme Ahsoka one with Yerza? From Rebels, which that was the least interesting, and then one with Rose and her sister when they were kids. Like, there's nothing horribly notable. Like, you see a vehicle with wheels on it, that's interesting in the Star Wars universe. It's nice.
Fucking
like, it's
wheels.
Yeah, dude. Star Wars drift. Pod racing, get out of here. Yeah, they're nice. I've seen people complain about them, because how dare every Star Wars product not be appealing to 20-year-old dudes. But, yeah, that's about it. They're nice. There's no reason to read them if you're not, like, balls deep in Star Wars already.
Fair enough.
Forces of Destiny.
It's a thing, apparently.
Yeah.
It's a thing they made. So, what do you want to jump to next? Speaking of things maybe we don't care about as much.
Oh, boy.
Let's talk about canon.
Yeah.
Kanan.
Yeah, that's fair.
Since you didn't reread that one.
Kanan.
It's based off the Rebels TV show that you haven't even watched.
I mean, it's like the prequel shit. Anyway.
You watch Clone Wars.
No. I mean, the comic is the prequel shit of the...
Of
Rebels. Like, you don't need to really watch Rebels to... Look, I understand.
I mean,
what
it is and then it
on.
Isn't. Like, halfway through, it's about those characters.
But it's not like they're dropping bombs that I didn't, like...
No, it's understand. Just their characters.
Yeah.
It's just like, here are all these characters that you... Rebels watcher obviously know, and I'm like, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I recognize these people from pictures of Rebels stuff,
I mean, they do the same thing with Snoke. It's fine. I'm used to it by now. Grown accustomed very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a big deal. It's just the only one. That's the one that's like, yo, for all you Star Wars Rebels fans, we got this comic book for you.
It's like the
on the cover.
It's like the Yeah. I feel like it's probably the, like, last time when we did the Darth Maul comics, I feel like that's the Darth Maul comic of this batch, maybe.
Yes.
It's fine, but meh.
I mean, I think the art is of the better ones of the stuff we did.
Okay.
Just because it's not, you know, trying to imitate faces of actual people.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Which we'll get
to
that.
We'll get there. Holy shit. My big thing...
I think the art is fine.
Yeah, no, art is... it's good. My big thing, like, the memorable point, which I'm told if that's the only thing I ever pull away from that comic, I'm fine with it, is Kanan. I really should look it up, but I don't care. Kanan and his master. I recognized her, but I forget her name. She was like off-brand Jedi Master. And she was talking to him about like feelings and stuff. And she told him something along the lines of like, it's not that you're not supposed to feel. It's that you're supposed to be aware of it. And like, kind of, it's like meditation, right? It's fine if you stop focusing on your breathing. The point is to gently guide yourself back to focusing on breathing. It's not that you're not supposed to feel, but you're supposed to be mindful of that and then guide yourself back to like that kind of neutral state. And I just
it was like a reasonable version of that idea.
Yeah,
for human beings.
Yeah. And yeah. I was just thinking about like, wow, maybe, like, Anakin should have been told this at some point.
Yeah, no, it's
it
like,
really seems...
maybe this idea should have been in those prequel movies at all.
Yeah.
At all.
Because I think that is part of, like, along with attachment, like, Anakin's whole deal. Like, I feel like he definitely is the type of person viewed as, like, no, we're not supposed to feel. But then he does anyway, and it just pushes him in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Yeah. That's what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I just...
That is... He gets real angry about being angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just makes him more angry.
It's a nice...
Look.
Nice little circle. That
you, once you start on the path to the dark side, forever will it dominate your destiny.
Not true. Not true. Dark Disciples. Great novel. Go read it. I'm telling you, dude, it hits all the notes. There's a fall. There's redemption that's semi-related to the fall. There's a love story. It's good. It's real good shit. Not a comic, though.
Sadly. Not a comic book.
I don't even remember what else happens in Kanan. Like, I remember, like, the stormtroopers and all that. Like, it's right at the turn.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the notable thing to me was that it had a scene of a clone trooper going, yo, maybe that was bad, killing all the Jedi.
Yeah, and then they don't.
Killing specifically our friend.
Yep. Yeah.
But that's like one scene
mm-hmm.
out of 12 comic book issues.
I feel like there's going to be something relating to that. I don't know what the resolution or plot of it will be, but I feel like that'll get tackled at some point, like in depth, like Clone Troopers being all maybe.
I don't think so. I think getting one-off lines about that is like the most we're ever going to get.
Maybe. Because it's, I don't know, too... Disney canon is weird.
Yeah. I mean, expanded universe Star Wars, that is the thing. That is a lot of the thing. Yeah. Other than like making one character and blowing out their whole story.
Davin.
Making one minor character. Like Davin Felth.
God bless him.
he had a change of heart.
Yeah. His whole fucking... Oh my god. There's so much. It's too much. 26 pages is too much for Davin. Yeah, what do you want to... Anything else on Kanan?
No.
It's real.
He's not a very interesting character.
No.
I'm gonna be real.
No. Like, I enjoyed that concept. I enjoyed some of the Clone Trooper stuff. But, like, as far as he goes, like, okay. Sure. You exist, I suppose.
He's got a ponytail, so he's obviously cool. It's
pretty neat.
He's stupid. And it, like, yeah. It has, like, even has, like, an explanation for his ponytail.
What's that again?
Because as a kid, he had a tell where whenever he's nervous, he runs his hand through his hair.
So right.
He has a ponytail so he won't run his head through his hair. Because that's how that works.
Dude, you run your hand through your
and
hair
and you couldn't just
fucking
get
more.
A haircut.
You could run your hand through your hair even more if you have a ponytail.
And as someone who's this year, there's a baseball player in the Mets who had hair. And he had one of his things while he was on the mound would be him putting his hair back behind his ear.
Yeah.
And this year he cut his hair. And there was a moment early on where he, like, phantom put his, rubbed his hair back and there was no hair there. It's just like, oh, man.
It's like you're pushing your glasses up and you don't have your glasses on.
He's just like, oh, he lost part of his identity when he cut his hair. It was also notable because he went from, like, having a distinct look to looking like
every other baseball player.
Average baseball player. Yeah.
Nice.
He's now just another one in terms of look.
Yeah.
So yeah, Kanan. That's the one I read last because that was the one I was the least interested in.
And there's a reason why I didn't revisit it. Why I put it on? Well, not like that. I actively chose not to, but I put it on bottom list of my priorities.
Hmm.
Do you want to just go down? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Journey to Star Wars. Stuff.
Journey to Star Wars, Journey to the Stars, The Force Awakens, Captain Phasma, and Shattered Empire.
That's not the titles they're listed under on Marvel Unlimited. It's Journey to Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Captain Phasma, and Journey to Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Shattered Empire.
Okay,
that's what they're listed under.
Different strokes for different folks. Maybe start with Shattered Empire, I guess?
Sure.
Chronologically,
that one takes place earlier.
Yes. Yeah,
it's kind of like post Return of the Jedi stuff.
Yeah, it's like the immediate aftermath, kind of showing you like, yeah, okay, it's like had their celebration thing and it was great, and then Palpatine shows up on a face visor and is like,
"I have a job for you,"
and then they start
kill everyone on Naboo.
Yeah, they start like activating all these weather altering systems on Naboo and just trying to fucking slaughter everyone. It's
well, it's supposed to, like, the four episodes are, it's like, here's hanging out with this Star Wars character, hanging out with this, and it's kind of framed around Poe Dameron's mother.
Yeah,
mostly it's like sort of your character you're following.
More importantly, we get to know where the tree on the island that Luke is on came from? I think. I'm assuming that's what it is. They jack two trees. Is yep. the last arc of the comic. They were like these. Well, I mean, he said they were expecting. Luke was expecting one tree or two. So at yep. least one of them was from this. Maybe both were from the center of like the Jedi Temple and their garden and stuff.
Yeah, and yeah. That's what they were both from the
okay
the like remains of the Jedi Temple.
Yeah, yeah.
On Coruscant.
And one of them he like takes. So I assume that's the tree. In Force Awakens, Last Jedi? Well, Last Jedi, I guess. That's what I'm assuming.
Like I felt like that tree was older, but I don't fucking know.
It's the Force.
It's not... Trees don't grow that fast, generally.
But the Force. It's like a sonic screwdriver does whatever you need it to do.
Oh, so you're saying Star Wars is like Doctor Who? Is that what you're saying, Ben? Is that the hill you're going to die on?
I would sooner kill myself.
So surprised you went there. I'm surprised you, that was what you drew on as your Fuck. Example for...
We should just end the podcast. Just shut it down. Fucking 40 whatever episodes and a half. Just end it. We're done. If only... But yeah, it's
also I will note they go to Naboo and we don't see a single Gungan. Weird.
Yeah, crazy how they made that choice. We do get to see the fighter. I'm so glad that they bring out the Naboo starfighters, and I love it because I really enjoy those ship designs.
Yeah, when they were saying like we don't have a military anymore, but I have a plan. I'm like, are you gonna fucking go talk to the Gungans? Because they were like into military stuff, right?
Yeah. You got the army. Little, you got the little Maul reference.
The pointless Darth Maul reference that I don't understand.
Well, just like,
I don't know. Oh, his presence. He was here like fucking years ago.
Yeah, but that's how angry
he got cut
he
in
was.
Half.
Dude, he was so angry.
Maybe his legs are still there.
Probably.
Is what she
said. That's probably like his bones.
He was just
are at
like sensing his raging hate boner.
Hey.
After his legs got cut off. Perpetually hard.
I'm gonna call it right now. We're gonna see some form of media. Someone's gonna have a lightsaber and it's gonna be made out of Maul's like leg bones. That's what the hilt's gonna be.
Maul's boner is literally a giant spike bone.
Yeah. It's like his head, but on the on the end of all of his joints. Like, you thought his face was bad, you should have seen his knees.
His dick just says, like, it's like a... it's like fractal bones. Of just like...
Ugh.
Points everywhere.
It's like those... It's like those things that they developed in Africa or wherever where they have the spikes on them, so they go in, but if you want to take it out, you have to have it, like,
yes.
removed.
Uh-huh.
It's like that. It's like that, but without the part where it's safe to go in. It just, the spikes are just pointing out. Like, it's going to hurt. There's ones pointing out, there's ones pointing in. It's going to hurt no matter what gender.
It's just...
a lose-lose situation.
It just destroys everything. It's complete wreck.
In his species, the clitoris is not something you want to find.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Shadow Empire was okay for what it is.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Is,
I'm not a huge.
Again,
it's all
I'm
right.
not into this kind of thing of like. Here's just a product to have all your favorite characters in, and it doesn't really have its own narrative. It's like, show up with this character, oh, then that ends, then show up with this. Like, there's no, it's a 4-issue series that doesn't really have a story.
Yeah. Yeah. Nope, it's just, I mean, it's, yeah, Force Awakens, Journey to Star Wars.
It's, like, that's yeah, it's not... It's not fucking, it's not the worst, it's not terrible, it's just not particularly notable, worthwhile, memorable.
Yeah. None of those things. No, it's like, the only thing that I remember, that I will retain from it solidly is Poe Dameron's, Poe Dameron. His parents were in it, and also there was a posthumous, like, typhoon trying to be created on Naboo. It's really all I...
Yeah, the, like, the Empire has, like, weather weapons.
Yeah, like big old satellites. Reflecting
stuff out of satellites. I'm just like, the fuck was this from?
Sure, okay.
The other thing I think is notable compared to other Star Wars comics is because it's... So, the main Star Wars series is, like, all after A New Hope before Empire, so Luke is a little bitch. Mm-hmm. And it was just cool to see post Return of the Jedi Luke for that one issue that he's in, because that's a cool Luke.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's he was pretty, he's pretty dope.
And then there's the Captain Phasma miniseries,
which I liked. I enjoyed that comic.
I don't care about Captain Phasma.
Do you care about Pilot, though? Did you see Pilot? You shipped it for the whole comic, didn't you? Don't lie.
I mean, I didn't ship it, because I don't care about Captain Phasma. Pilot was fine.
Yeah, she was. That's what I'm getting at, dude.
I would have rather read a comic book about her.
I know, I'm waiting for it. She's going to be the next Davin. Pilot. Look for the Wikipedia entry. Look,
she can't be Davin Felth, because the point of Davin Felth is that he shows up in the movies.
Maybe she will.
Originally. It's just blowing out.
What if we have like a flashback
character?
What if we have a flashback and she's just like there?
It's like the force sensitive droid who blew himself up to save R2.
Well, no. Get with the times. R2 convinces him to kill himself.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Much better. Yeah, so Phasma, like, it's right after Force Awakens and they destroy Starkiller Base, and Phasma is the one who would let down the plasma shield or whatever.
Yeah.
And she
sucks.
Yeah. And she's basically trying to cover her tracks, and there's one dude who knows that she did it, and he gets like, does he leave or he gets taken, whatever? And basically, her and the pilot of the TIE fighter track this guy down to, like, unknown little shithole planet. It's like Tatooine, but water, basically. And, like, put on some disguises. There's a little bit where I, like, thought for a second that they were actually going to show Captain Phasma, but they don't. They just show her, like, taking off her helmet and stuff. And then
she puts on a different helmet.
Yeah, she puts
she
on
is committed
a different
to wearing a helmet.
You gotta commit to the bit, dude. However, the pilot puts on a disguise, and what a disguise. Just saying, pilot was
she
cute.
She stops wearing a helmet.
Yeah, pilot was cute AF. And, yeah, they, like, basically they're helping these, this native people against this other species that's kind of more feral.
They're helping the people that landed on this planet and like rejected technology after coming from the stars because they'd ruined their old planet.
Sure. And that was something like I probably could have picked up if I would have looked
these
carefully.
Indigenous creatures are kind of growing and evolving and are going to like end up killing all of them, probably.
Okay, so they're helping the more or less white people of the planet.
Yes.
Against
the
savages.
They're helping
the colonists. Yeah.
Well, and they're sort of helping, like helping.
They're helping
Captain
as
Phasma
a means
rallies
to
them to her cause, but really all she just wants is to get them to fight the creatures that live there as a distraction, so she can go find
the dude
she wants
and
to
kill
him. Yeah.
It's and then on Pilot's part, there's like a nice bit of like, yo, we should help these people though. Like she has kind of a change of heart or whatever. Like, you can tell she's actually a decent person inside.
She's like a human being, and Phasma is like a cartoon. And then Phasma kills her.
Yeah.
And kills the dude, and achieves all her
droid. Just kills a harmless little fucking droid.
It's true. That droid sucked, though. He had to be carried in a backpack because the terrain was too rough for him.
That's about right. So, yeah, it was just more...
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, look, Captain Phasma is such a badass.
It's Phasma like, hype, yeah, pretty much.
She's still...
Until we get that like, sweet...
She hasn't fucking done anything worth caring about.
Until we get that sweet backstory. Yeah, she's shiny.
I know, this doesn't even... Like, it's a Captain Phasma story, but you don't learn anything about Captain Phasma.
Yeah, that little tidbit with her really. Parents or whatever, presumably.
And theoretically, she said she grew up on a planet like this, or she knew about... She was on a planet like this.
She's Rey's mom, dude! There it is. There's the fucking pieces. I just put the puzzle together. So that debate is done.
Oh, okay.
Problem solved, yeah. Rey's mom or her sister. I will give it 50-50 either way. I win. You're welcome.
No.
So, do we want to talk about,
I mean,
like...
maybe it could have been Rey's mom the same way. Maybe Boba Fett was going to be Luke's dad.
Yeah. I could do it up. Take two. It also didn't work, so let's can it again. Do you want to
Whatever. What do you want to say?
Oh, I was going to ask if you want to move on.
It's
Captain Phasma in a comic. If you like her, you'll like it. If you don't, you probably won't. That's about it.
I don't know. She's not shiny through the whole thing.
Yeah, that's true.
She wears some less than shiny armor.
But it's gritty.
Part of
it's
it.
It's cool. It's gritty.
Which is you going undercover before she realizes these people have no fucking clue who the Empire is. I could wear my normal stuff.
Yeah. It was an excuse to show off pilot, dude. They know what they did.
And to, like, tease you about Captain Phasma having a real face.
Yeah. Maybe Star Wars Volume 6?
Sure.
Go from, like, worst.
Star Wars Volume
6,
I think, is the worst volume of the main series Star Wars so far.
It's not great.
It's
also,
really bad.
The faces are terrible still. The art is just fucking awful.
And it really annoys me because that artist is actually really good. The stuff he's not drawing those faces is really good. And in previous comics where he didn't have to draw faces in this realistic style and could draw comic book faces, they're really good faces. But like because of what he's required and the way those faces get colored and it's different than everything else and they look like they're photoshopped in.
No,
it's
there was
terrible.
There was one, I mean, there's a shot of literally anybody who has a face in that comic that's terrible, but there's just one of Han where I'm like, it looks like his face, it looks like someone did like the Mitt Romney Photoshop where his face is too small for his head. Like, it just looks fucking, and they all look fucking weird. Cause even like
there was one of like just a random Imperial dude with his gray hat and stuff, and it because his suit and hat looked like flat comic book stuff, and his head was just like it just looked like it was at the wrong like it looked like it was tucked in there.
I think it's Volume 7. There's a real great one where like Luke, and spoiler, it's not fucking fixed. Like, Luke's wearing this awesome billowy outfit and it looks dope. And then his face looks like ass. Yeah. Like, it's a nice, awesome comic book outfit, and then nah.
Yeah, also, like, so this is the last volume that Jason Aaron wrote, and you kind of feel like he was done.
Yeah.
Like,
it's really...
like, he's just out of story. And every issue was just, like, a one-off about a particular character. Mm. And they're pretty fanficky. The R2 one in particular is super fanficky.
Where
he's like,
fucking
he's
destroying everything.
He breaks into a Star Destroyer to save C-3PO single-handedly. And then he's, like, piloting an X-Wing. And then Darth Vader is chasing him.
He's like, someone must have trained this droid.
And R2's like, we better fucking kill Darth Vader.
Yeah. It goes balls deep. I will say, I think the high point of the comic is, like, in the beginning, the shit with Sana and how she, like, did all the weapons shit. That was pretty great. I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
She, like, steals... What is it? She steals a crate of weapons and then convinces, like, two different groups that this other... that the opposing group had it.
Yeah.
And then
she's
really,
well, she's like, I'm gonna sell you this one crate at a high price as a down payment, but I'll get you the rest later. And she, and she doesn't have the rest. Like, it, that's a good kind of, like...
trope sort of thing?
It's... yeah, it's just, like, the story stacks upon itself in good ways. Mm-hmm. But it's also, like, why is Lando there? Why is Lando here? He's so useless.
Just tagged along. Yeah, he does literally nothing except, like, whoa! He almost got us killed.
Like, he's the audience surrogate character? It's just fucking weird. It's like, why?
He almost throws up on the ship. That was important.
Yeah, man.
No, it's real meth.
Yeah.
I would
agree.
And
it's like, this is why Star Wars comics are bad. I would say, like, this is the example of, like, here are stories about characters where nothing about them is going to change, and it's just a kind of about jerking them off, and the art doesn't get to be good comic book art. It has to be weird facsimile of human faces. It's just like, and it's from good creators, so there's, like, it's not the worst.
There is also
it's also frustrating that I feel like there's a good writer and good artist kind of having their time wasted, that they have to do this.
There's also, like, and this is, I guess, more personal opinion than anything, the fact that, like, we're still pissing away time between or among episodes, like, well, I guess 5 and 6 right now, that can fuck off. Like, that's where we have the most content from anyway, because we had all those films. If only there was some sort of, like, lengthy period between a different set of trilogies that we could fill.
Nope.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, I guess Luke was just shit burned down and they drank cow piss for 20 years or whatever. That's how it went.
I mean, the Journey to Star Wars, Force Awakens comics weren't great either. That's all I'm saying. But
I mean, yeah, they're not great, but I find them, at least the content, like, I find them more palatable just because, like, there's stuff that we don't have a bunch of. I'm like, I don't give a shit what happens to Luke between episodes 5 and 6.
Yeah, that's not...
unless it's, like, him... unless it's actually, consolidated to just him becoming better. But it's not. It's all of the other...
he can't become that much better.
Yeah. Like... yeah.
But I like... it's, like, kind of the most marketable period,
I guess. Would say.
So I get why they're doing it. Where, like, oh, you can have Han and Leia flirt, but they're not, like... together, I guess.
Yeah.
It's also that can fuck off, but it's all kind of fresh. It's just the bigger problem with this volume of comics is there isn't a story, and the like individual stories are not compelling.
Yep.
For the most, and it's just like, yep, this seems like that creative team who should be moving on and do other stuff. Like, come on. Also, editorial, come on. Why do we need these faces like this? I hate it.
No, the faces are... They compound everything. They make it 1,000 times worse. Though it does give you, like, a perfect visualization for your hate. Yeah. Like, you can very easily picture their stupid fucking faces.
So, there is, however, a crossover kind of during these...
Do Dr. Aphra first?
Dr. Aphra, and there's the Screaming Citadel crossover.
Okay, yeah.
So Dr. Aphra was my favorite of these. It's the one I like the most, easily.
Dr. Aphra is really good, dude.
It's the one that feels the most like just a normal, a good comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't... it's not... until the Screaming Citadel crossover, it's not burdened with any of the burdens of being Star Wars and having these characters who show up but can't change or anything.
Yeah.
Like, it gets to tell its own story and just do crazy stuff it wants to do.
No, 100%. It just
feels much freer.
Yep. Yep.
It's good.
Yeah, no, it's a good time.
Dr. Offer is a great character.
Yeah. We are getting more. I was like, I hope we get more. No, there's like a volume 3 and a volume 4 coming at some point. So it goes Dr. Offer volume 1 and then Screaming Citadel and then 2. Volume 1 is where, well, I guess as a reminder or a first time knowledge thing, Dr. Offer was like, she's an archaeologist. She's also walking the line. She's like a cooler Han. Like, she's bad, but she does good stuff sometimes.
And she's more evil than Han also.
Yeah, yeah, like,
for sure.
When you first meet her, like, she's working with Vader. Well, or Vader, like, hires her more or less, as far as he hires people. And she has these, like, she has a evil R2 and 3PO. Like,
yeah. Like, super evil.
Yeah, like,
her droids are so evil, man.
Like, they're built to torture and kill, and they, like, get off on it. And the astromech, like, unit is, like, they constantly refer to him as, like, a miniature Death Star. Like, he's just fucking, they're, like, they were deactivated for reasons.
Yeah, I mean, he's like a psychotic murder program stuck in an astro droid also.
Yeah, that too. So, you know, they're there. It's great. And this is her, like, this is after her Vader time. Like, she's just kind of doing her own thing, like, trying to sell shit. Like,
a big part of Kieran Gillen's run on Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And at the end of that, she kind of, she fakes her death to kind of get out from under him.
Yeah.
So that he doesn't kill her, because he would have.
Yeah, oh no, I mean, definitely tried. So she's like doing archaeology stuff, trying to...
Look, she's trying to get big scores.
Yeah, pay off her debts, but, you know, if she can get away without paying them, then why waste money, you know?
Yeah.
She has she also has evil Chewie.
It's true. Black Chewie.
Black Chewie. We're not being racist. He is just a black Wookiee. It's his name. Black whatever, car or something. First name Black, last initial K.
Yeah.
And she owes him money, and also is going to help him get revenge on these gladiatorial fighters and stuff. You get to meet her dad, who is obsessed with, like, this ancient Jedi stuff. Like, this citadel that, you know, one might
say is... It's a lot like National Treasure.
Yeah. That's a pretty apt description.
In terms of the father-child relationship there.
Yeah. No, that's pretty spot on.
But, although... It's less like she doesn't think the thing he thinks was real. She thinks the thing he believes is, like, uninformed, and that, like, stuff went down differently, and these aren't, like, there's no salvation to be found with finding this stuff.
Because part of it is, like, he's trying to find this relic and, like, possibly save the galaxy. He wants a safer galaxy for his daughter to grow up in.
Yeah, and she's like, that... not likely, even if you could find this thing.
Yeah.
They were probably just dicks.
Hey,
spoiler warning. They were dicks.
They're all dicks. On their way, when they... Or no, that never mind. That comes later. We can get to... It's like near the end. So they get there, and... Well, first they have to go to Yavin 4, which obviously the Imperials are there. And they steal, like, the coordinates, right? Like, they have the thing, and it gives them coordinates after the sun shines on it. It's like some Indiana Jones bullshit. Yeah, there were
Imperial stationed there trying to figure this thing out, and
they just roll in and do it immediately.
Her dad has these crystals that can, like, activate stuff in the temple.
Yeah. So, they get the coordinates for the Citadel, and they fly off, but they're being tracked by the Empire. And they get there, and there's a lot of dead people. There are a lot of bodies, a lot of lightsabers strewn about the place.
And it turns out this Jedi Order that was seeking immortality didn't all ascend to a higher plane.
Yeah. That was a pretty good, like, I've met a lot more immortal people.
Turns out they all died.
Yeah, they find out that there is an artificial intelligence who is the immortal Ruhr.
Yeah. Basically, and, guy ended up making a AI copy of himself.
But it wasn't a copy, it was like,
oh no, I am the real one, and this fake is in my body.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, come on, like, see, come on, dude. You can still, like, be in favor of yourself, but clearly robot version.
You are very clearly the... Yeah. So they had managed to shut him down, like, as a last act.
Yeah,
and then they reawaken him immediately. Of course, there's also a cool little like world building bit in there that I liked. When he's like, "When is it?" They're like, yeah. "What calendar are you familiar with?"
Yeah,
and he's like whatever it is, like Decimian or Dachimian or whatever. And they're like, "Yo, yeah. That was ancient history 1,000 years ago." And he's like, "Fuck, I could have had an empire."
Shit, everyone's dead. God damn it. Also, he's like a technopath and like controls robots.
He can control
robots. Because, you know, why not?
It's like the Force, but robots.
Yeah.
They manage to get away from the Empire, as one might expect. They, like, take the crystal that kind of houses the AI with them.
They get it shut down, but take the crystal with them.
I love that. So the leader of, well, the, like, I guess captain or whatever, I don't know, the leader of this particular group of Imperials.
Commanding officer character. Yeah,
is, like, this chick. And eventually they all have to get off of this rock together. Afra's kind of stranded there, like, Black Chewie kind of dips with the droids in the ship.
He's like,
because he's like, fuck, I'm not having this. I'm not having this right now. And he leaves, so Dr. Offer gets off with this person or dad, whatever. And they, like, drop her off on some planet, and Offer is like, it would be the right decision to kill you, but you're cute. And just leaves, and I'm like, it's so good. It's so fucking good.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Also... Then she's like, okay, Dad, I will put this crystal into this
quarantine.
With the research quarantine vault thing. It'll be fine. You can respect me. And then it's like, nah, I'm keeping this. This is too cool. There's too much money to be made here.
Yeah, she's like, let's go pay off your debt. Because she meets back up with the gang.
Yeah. Ditches her. Gets rid of her dad. That square.
Mm-hmm. And that leads into Screaming Citadel.
Yes.
Which is the crossover. She needs basically the ultimate goal. I mean, okay, I guess first, did you, like, you enjoyed this as well? Probably.
Dude, I really liked it. I was super in on this whole first arc. Dr. Offra is such a good character. And it's just fun to see... Kieran Gillen is a writer I really like, so I was expecting to really like this, and it did not disappoint.
Okay.
It was good, good stuff. And this is the kind of, this is like what Star Wars comics I like. Like, you yes. can use the stuff in it, but it's not really related to anything necessarily. It's just kind of there and can just be its own thing and be a good comic book.
Yeah.
Primarily. It's not here to, like, suck off Star Wars.
How did you feel about the crossover, about Screaming Citadel? Just before we, like, dive into plot stuff.
Again, it has... It's mostly just good, but it feels like... Again, this one feels more like, oh, this is like a comic book story, but also there are these Star Wars characters here.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are, like, these, like... And you're just kind of stuck with these characters having to be these characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels limiting on the potential for what can happen in the story, I would say.
Yeah.
But there's a fucking weird vampire lady.
Yeah.
So, you know, it still feels more like a comic book than just a Star Wars wankery thing.
There's like this... So, Aphra meets up with Luke because this... What is it? This chick has the ability to unlock this crystal's secrets or something?
Yeah.
More or less.
She, like, basically shows up once a year and takes requests if you bring her an interesting life form.
Yeah.
And she will grant any request.
That was a pretty cool scene where Aphra shows up. Like, she's going to bring Luke to her. Yeah. And all these... There's, like, a bit with, like, people like, oh, I brought this thing, and this guy is like, the queen is interested, we will contact you. And this guy's like, I brought this thing, he's like, the queen is interested, we will contact you. And then, like, Watto clone is like, I brought this pet rock. He's like, the queen does not consider your offer, have a good day. And
you got like a bug in a little cage.
Yeah, it's like a piece of shit, probably is Watto. Like, dude.
To, like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. So then Aphra rolls up with Luke, and they're, like, pretty offended, because, like, you brought a fucking basic bitch human here. Really? Like, and then someone started getting into shit with Luke, and he, like, does a little force push, kind of instinctively.
Yeah. And I just doesn't want to reveal that he's a Jedi.
Yeah.
And also because he's, you know, post A New Hope, he doesn't want to call himself a Jedi either.
Yeah. So... I love that bit where the guy is like, yeah, attention, everyone. Sorry for all the people we've told we're interested. We're not anymore. Everybody have a good day. Go home. We'll pay you. Luke, get up here. Like, instantaneously.
Everyone get the fuck out. Oh, there's one scene that happens before that I just want to briefly say that I really liked, which is when Dr. Aphra finds Luke, and he's like about to get... Like, people are kind of giving him shit because he's in a bar that's not for humans.
Oh, aliens. Yeah.
And then Dr. Aphra shows up to, like, help. And then everyone's like, fuck you, Dr. Aphra. Like, everyone knows who she is and fucking hates her.
Yeah.
And then everyone wants to fucking kill them. Luke's like, you know, that's... It's not helpful if you make everyone want to fight us.
Yeah. No, it's pretty good.
It's not actually helping.
I was so disappointed because I think they used some of the art in this one, in this volume, like some of the, you know, like whatever filler art between things,
mm-hmm.
Of like Dr. Aphra, like all dressed up, and I forgot if she was or not. And then she doesn't. I'm like, fuck. I fell for it. This is the part of, like, she's getting Luke all like fancied up to show off or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, aren't you going to dress up? She's like, yeah, if I dressed up, nobody would be looking at you.
It's true. I mean, no one was looking at him anyway, though. They were like, this dude sucks.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit human.
Garbage.
Also, the Wookiee isn't allowed inside. Oh, why? I wonder what's happening. Why isn't he allowed in?
His Wookiees are gross.
I mean, yeah, dude. You think dog hair on the couch is bad? You're not fucking clean. The Millennium Falcon is 1,000 times hairier than it should be.
Wookiees don't taste good at all. Yeah, so it turns out this lady's a vampire.
Yeah.
And is, like, really into the... She hasn't eaten a Jedi in so long, guys.
Yeah. Actually, that was one thing I was, like, half confused on. Was she the... Okay, so jumping ahead a tiny bit, there's, like, these symbiotes...
Yeah.
That have, like, taken her over, and that's, like, the hive mind thing. Like,
yeah.
Is that their deal, where she, like, inhales the essence from people like a fucking Death Eater, or is that her or the symbiote doing that? I think it might be her. Know. I can't.
By the end of the story, it's the symbiote.
Yeah.
For the way it resolves. Yeah. But I think... I don't think, like, she was just, like, a normal... I really don't know. Honestly, I read that whole story. I'm not clear if she was inherently a vampire or if it was just the weird symbiote thing on her.
Well, everybody gets infected, basically.
Yeah.
And she's, like, kind of the queen or whatever. And I think because Han gets infected, but it's not, like, from her. I think it's from... Is it just separately or something? Or maybe it is from her. I don't know. I just know that he's running around going, like, I'm the king.
Like, well, no, that's...
Or is so that later?
There's, like,
that's
a higher... Later. Right, that's later. Because there's a hierarchy, basically, of these... in the symbiote thing, where the strongest life form that's hooked into it...
Yeah.
She must have been just inherently a vampire. But the strongest life form that's in there gets to be the leader.
Yeah. So...
So, basically, at a certain point, her and Luke, like... are both facing off. Like, Aphra hooks Luke in as, like, to fight her. And there's a whole thing of, like, Luke trusting Aphra and Aphra betraying him over and over throughout the story, basically.
I did like that sort of, like, the stuff they brought up a whole lot when she was like, yeah, not everybody had an idyllic farm life like you did. Blah, blah. He's like, yeah, all my family was killed by the Empire, and I walked back to their burnt corpses.
It was a good, because they've sort of established that Aphra is, like, sort of in favor of the Empire because of order and peace being better than chaos and just people getting murdered. But Luke has the perspective of his family straight up being murdered by the Empire, so...
Yeah, basically...
That argument doesn't hold water for him.
Yeah, basically they, like... came out of traumatic situations, like, as polar opposites. Like, Luke is generally positive and whatever, and she's just, like, still suffering from it. And they talk about that. I thought that was really good. I like that aspect of their interactions and everything.
Yeah, no, that stuff worked.
Yeah, so then after Luke kind of defeats his defeats the former queen's parasite... And then, like, overcomes his or whatever. Then Han's right around go like, I'm the king.
Well, it's Luke and her kind of cancel each other out as they're in, like, mortal battle. It's like king versus queen.
Yeah, they're both
kind of thing.
Vying
so
for
then
it.
It's like kind of goes down the chain of command to eventually Han is sort of in command versus a bunch of her other lieutenants.
Yeah. Also,
like, kind of arguing about it.
You find out why she didn't want the Wookiee there, and it's because Black Chewie gets infected at some point and starts, like, punching through blast doors. Like, just fucking stuff up.
Wookiees are very strong.
Yeah. They're
very powerful.
So imagine him, like, strong, but also, like, at peak strength and enraged.
Yeah.
that happens. It was good.
It was good stuff. And also, I like at the end, like, the whole thing is, like, Luke saying to Aphra, no, you're good, you're fine, you're my friend. At the end, he's like, yeah, don't ever
stay the hell
show
away
up
from
around
me
again. It's like, finally, you figured it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though it's like Dr. Aphra is like this, is like... Is a character on the fence of becoming good or being evil.
Yeah.
But she definitely...
He's not a Jedi yet. He doesn't have that wisdom.
For good... Well, honestly, him losing her respect there is the right decision.
Fuck, you know what I'd actually...
She's still rolling with those droids.
Yeah, that's true. When you're rolling with murder droids and a gladiatorial Wookiee, like... Pretty hard to...
The Wookiee is, like, whatever, honestly. Like,
you know what I'd fucking support,
the murder
though?
Droids. The droids that are like, can we please just torture something already?
Yeah.
God, I'm so bored.
I would 100% be in favor of, like, Aphra and Luke meeting up between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens. Like, I want older Luke and older Aphra, like, meeting up. And I mean, I don't know what volume 3 or 4 of Aphra has, but that'd be cool, like, seeing wherever she ends up. Unless she fucking dies at the end because she's not a mainline Star Wars character.
It's true.
Yeah, then there's Aphra Volume 2.
Yeah.
Also good.
Which, also real good. And this one starts out, basically, she hosts an auction to sell off the crystal that's holding Immortal Roar. Which is a good idea. I like that and it's like the big score kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I really like that that he follows up on the previous arc of, like, yeah, I got this super powerful thing. Now let's fucking sell it.
We get some droid rights, dudes. Like, there's these droids there trying to buy it. And they're like, droids already have a hard enough time, and you're selling this thing that can control droids.
Also, there's the droid that's like, it's impossible to... Technopath, he doesn't exist, or whatever.
Yeah, this is a sealed system.
It's just, like, immediately gets controlled, and then, like, Chewie has to shoot him.
Yeah. It's like... Yep.
And then he gets possessed. Oh, shit. It's like, things do not go good for that dude.
Yeah.
He made poor choices about what he believes.
It's going, honestly, like, she would have gotten away with it if she respected droids a little bit more.
It's true.
Because if
she took the words of her murder droids a little more seriously.
Yeah, because evil 3PO was like, hey, for real though, I want to murder people and torture them. And she's like,
we have been doing a lot of that lately.
Yeah, she's like, you just got to, like, smash whoever's face in or do whatever. And he's like, that was months ago. It's like, fine,
that's
not
murder.
We can do it after this. And he's like, nah, she's lying. So they go contact the one person who is kind of their other master. Fucking Vader.
Yeah, that was a good twist. Again, it's frustrating reading these comics and, like, Darth Vader shows up around every fucking corner. But
I think
it really worked here, so I was more okay with it. Also, I'd read this before I read some of the other stuff. So,
gotcha.
I was also less burned out on that thing.
Hmm. I think they might have just realized that it's, like, the out that they had. Like, oh, we want these droids to leave, but she's their master. And then they're, like, walk away, like, loophole. Like, they have two masters. It works.
It worked.
So, yeah, basically shit just hits the fucking fan.
Yeah.
Like, AI gets released. The droids are like, yeah, we want to come have a chat with you. Or come to your quarters, like, we want to talk. And they're just fucking creepy as hell.
Yeah. They still can't kill people, so they, like, take over all the security defenses and just start shooting people non-lethally.
Yeah.
It's like, why are all the guns, like, have terrible aim?
Like, I just love when she meets them and they explain, like, what they did, but they mention, like, yeah, you're still technically our master, so we didn't tell them that it was you hosting the event. And shit goes on, and she is like, yeah, all right, like, fine, you got me in a corner. And she deactivates, like, their kind of the safety shit that she had put in place to prevent them from, like, fucking her up.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a great fucking line where he's like, until we meet again. And she's like, yeah, no, I don't ever want to see you guys again. And he just, like, turns around. He's like, until we meet again. Like,
yeah,
it's so good. Fucking creepio, more like.
Yeah, man. Creepio is honestly so much better than C-3PO.
Dude, 100%. 100%. You get shit
every
done,
time
dude.
Every time I'm reading C-3PO in these comics, I'm like, man, C-3PO sucks.
Fuck. I mean, he was built by a 9-year-old, so what can you expect?
It's true. But creepy-o.
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
I forget exactly how that all... How does the end go exactly? Like, how does it leave off? I know that she, like, gets into whatever ship and, like, gets away. Oh, yeah, Vader, like, detects her presence. He's like, yes. I detect a presence I haven't felt for some time. And infuriating presence.
Yeah.
He said the thing.
He did. He said the thing.
Yeah, Dr. Aphra is probably my favorite, like, current Star Wars thing. As far as, yeah. Like, as far as the comics go, like, in a void or whatever. Like, it's real good. New character, mm-hmm. Good stuff happening.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's just real fucking good. That's good comics, and I'm not surprised, because Kieran Gillen, again, one of my favorite comic book writers. He's mm-hmm. written a lot of good stuff. I'm not surprised that he came up with the good shit. Also, He got the license to write his own character.
Yeah.
After creating her in a Darth Vader book, which is... That's, like, what I want. That's like, this was like the dream when they started doing Star Wars comics. Like, oh, and then maybe a good creator will create a character that then they can just write on their own.
And
that's what happened. That's great.
I'm like looking for differences here. I wanted to see when the third one came out. And it's July 10th, which is dope. I'm going to fucking buy it and binge it over in Russia. I guess they are bringing on... I'm just, like, looking at the publisher's summary, and it's, like, Simon Spurrier takes the reins? I have no idea. I mean, it still says, like, yeah. Karen Gillian, but...
Yeah, I think Simon Spurrier is then a co-writer going forward.
Okay.
But he's... That's probably just... Because Gillian takes over... took over the main Star Wars book with Volume 7, so he's probably just, you know, busier.
Gotcha. I mean, you know, Volume 7 was pretty good.
Yeah.
But that's for a different episode.
So that's part of it, I think.
Okay. So yeah, Aphra will make a return in our next comic cast.
It looks like, I think Spurrier might... take over as solo writer. It's like starting with issue 20.
Okay. Maybe. We'll see how it goes.
So they're kind of... So like for like the next volume, their co-writers kind of passing the reins and then Spurrier takes over, I think is the idea there.
Gotcha. So yeah, Aphra definitely... Of the things we've talked about so far, I'd say check out Aphra, if anything, because it's real fucking good.
Yes, and... that's the one... And again, reading Gillen's Darth Vader comic is also pretty good. And
yeah.
This kind of falls directly out of that.
Yeah, so, you know, do it up. But.
And then we have Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith Volume 1.
Fuck or yeah,
Darth
dude.
Vader.
All right, so before, like, diving in, what'd you think?
Darth Vader 2017. That's all it's listed under on.
The other Darth Vader was 2015. This one is.
It was pretty good.
That.
It was good. Again, it has the thing of just, you know.
I mean, yeah.
I know who Darth Vader is.
I just.
About.
So, Dark Lord of Sith starts out literally with Vader going like, no.
Yeah, but because it's comic books, they try to make it cooler.
Less
lame.
Shitty. and this was, like, the one that, like, started off all of this bullshit. Like, I read Dark Lord of the Sith Volume 1, and my mind was just, like, it fucked me up. I was like, this is so good. Like, comics are good, you guys. Holy shit.
I mean, comics are good. It's true.
Yeah. I never knew. And then, and then I read a good comic. It was great. So, like, that was the added experience. Like, this was, for all practical purposes, like, my first comic.
Gotcha.
So it was, like, that heightened, like, holy shit.
Whereas, like, for me reading this stuff, it's, like, at its best, it's like, oh, this is, like, real comics.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so this is, like, the thing that you're mainly working with, at least in the first half of the novel, which is what I care about,
yeah,
is Darth Vader, like, just woke up, and Darth Sidious is like, yeah, you gotta get a lightsaber. And he kind of explains how the new, or he explains how the kyber crystals work in new canon. Basically, in order to create the red color, you get a kyber crystal, and you're, like, forcing your pain and your suffering and your hate and all this stuff into the crystal until it breaks and it bleeds, and that creates a red color. In previous canon, they were just synthetic and they were red. I think some of them might have even been naturally orange or whatever, but
yeah,
there has been equal parts people who like and fucking loathe this change. I'm kind of a fan of it just because we got that really good scene. So
yeah,
the first
also step, you have to, you can't just use any kyber crystal. You have to use kyber crystal from a Jedi you've killed.
Yeah, you have to take it from a fallen Jedi. And that, you know, that's more of a problem now, because all the Jedi were just fucking slaughtered, and their lightsabers were melted down.
Yeah.
So, like, where do you go? There is, I mean, obviously there's, like, several Jedi kind of, like, spread, like, you know, kind of sprinkled throughout the galaxy, but...
And Darth Vader went and killed Kanan, and, no one mourned
Rebels,
him.
Rebels was, canceled.
Exactly. That's why Rebels was canceled. His canon was killed by Darth Vader.
So, what actually happens is there is whatever practice of, like, Jedi who completely cut themselves off. Like, not from the Force, but just from the Order, from people, from, like, the rest of the universe. They're just focusing on their one thing. And there's one Jedi in the system right now who is doing this. And his one thing was fighting. And it's like, good. And they show him, and he's like this white-haired fucking jacked dude with, like, scars and shit.
Who never wears a shirt, like, and has a big scar.
Yeah, and he's just, like meditating in midair with all this shit floating around him. And then you kind of get a bit from his angle of things, and there's, like, all of this shit. He's still, like, hovering in midair and keeping all this shit floating, and then he's, like, fighting a training droid.
He's got this
droid,
training
sort of
droid buddy that he talks to.
So, Vader, like, comes to see him, and there's actually, like, a bit of, I guess, honorable thing. Like, he gives Vader some terms, and Vader actually follows them. And one of those is, like, yeah, you gotta make it up this mountain. And...
It reminds me of
trials.
Like a Avatar thing of, like, this master who lives on top of a hill or whatever.
Yeah.
You have to pass these challenges to get to them. But then at some point the dude's just like, all right, I know Vader's gonna make it up here. Let's just kind of cut out the chit chat.
Let him pass. And
he's like, he sets this up, and then he's like, yeah, this is
well,
it's
already
fine.
In place. Like, that's the, I think it's just stuff that's already there.
But he's like, climb the mountain to get to me. And then he quickly is like, all right.
Just call off the other traps. You can climb the mountain. He's going to fucking
He calls off
anyway.
His birds.
Yeah.
All these birds attack Vader.
So Vader gets to the top. And then there's, like, this great little, like, monologue bit. And the guy's, like, talking about how long he's been here. And he's taken whatever oath, and he hasn't moved or, like, strayed from it, even when he felt every single Jedi, like, get extinguished from the galaxy and stuff. And he's like, I consider my whatever ritual over, and, like, this is my destiny now.
And he kicks the shit out of Vader. Just beats the fuck out of him. Oh, if he knew about the double tap, we would have had the rest of Star Wars.
I know, you have to... Dude, you gotta double tap.
I'm actually, like... Tap. I read this, and I was like, fuck, I made a liar out of myself now. A filthy hypocrite, because I would get some blood on my hands to see an alternate timeline here. I'm ready for it. I condemned alternate universes just to become what I hate the most.
You didn't realize you wanted this guy to reform the Jedi Order.
I didn't realize how badly I wanted it. Fuck. It would have just been him.
Order had been reformed by a badass old guy without a shirt.
I mean, at the very least, it would have been more interesting. Like, he would have had to kill Sidious, because that was his next step. He's like, I will kill you, and I will kill your master. Because, like, or after he beats the fuck out of Vader, he's like, there's no way that guy was the mastermind.
It's like, true. He's like, oh, okay, that guy did not kill all the Jedi. What the fuck is this?
He, like, shoved him down a mountain as well, but as we know, like, when the fall exceeds, like, 100 meters, like, there's a half chance you're alive. So, the training droid was also down there.
Gets broken off.
Yeah. So he, like, uses this shattered training droid who he, like, decimated mm-hmm. before, like, getting into the battle. He uses the parts from that to, like, kind of rebuild his legs, stabilize him a bit, and then gets back.
Yeah, actually, I like that scene of him, like, just force-powering all that shit onto him.
Yeah. Also would have lost if he wasn't so angry. Like, he... has the guy, like, force held or whatever, or the guy's distracted because he's trying to save these other people that Vader is, like, kind of going after simultaneously, and then Vader is, like, trying to, like, breaking the dam over this village, and the guy's like, you're a monster, and Vader's like, I am, and
you know,
destroys everything, and he kills a dude, and it's like
the point of the Sith is I have no limits.
Yeah, it was real good.
Okay. The guy loses because he, like, cares about Vader trying to break a dam.
And yeah.
Let's his guard down.
Yep. And then Vader has to go.
His neck snapped.
Yeah. Yeah. Just. Vader has to.
And the town gets washed out anyway.
Yeah. No, he doesn't. Like, literally ends in the worst way possible for that dude.
Yeah.
So Vader then has to go break the Kyber crystal. And I love that scene. Like, they show you're literally just, like, hands over this crystal, like, using the force to, like, force all of your dark-sidedness into this crystal. Yeah. And they kind of show how the crystal, like, fights back. And you see, you just, like, it cuts to a scene of Vader, like, walking up to Sidious, and he's like, so you did it. You've made your choice. And then Vader, like, activates the lightsaber, and it's green. And you're like, what the fuck? What? And then they fight, and he kills Sidious. And you're like, okay, okay. And he, like, goes up to Obi-Wan, and he's like, just says, like, Obi-Wan, he's, like, repenting and stuff. Then it cuts back, and he's like, fuck this, and he, like, pours everything into this crystal, and it fucking breaks. Like, just that literal moment of, like, I have gone too far now, and I can't go back. Like, there's no turning back.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the part where I was like, this is a fucking comic? No one told me? God damn it. I was just, like, fucked up. It was good, to say the least. And I'm like, guys, I like Star Wars canon again, and I bought all the comics, and I got a shitload of the books, and then I started liking Rogue One. Like, just unlocked everything. The second half of the novel, or the comic, is good too, but it's, like, not as mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It's less, like, it's just other shit. Like, there's other dudes that Sidious has kind of been training, and, yeah. Meh.
Which is, like, that's the standard expanded canon thing of, oh, they had other apprentices.
It's like, not like true apprentices, though.
But, yeah. But, yeah. That's the thing with Sith, right? It's always, like, fake apprentices until, and you're just waiting for them to murder each other.
Yeah.
It's like how Aphra was basically a Darth Vader apprentice, even though she's not a Jedi certain, at all.
Yeah, she's
just, you know, he's just using someone else to further his plans and eventually will kill them or you get killed by them. Like, that's the Sith pattern.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And at the very end of the comic, you've, like, the one of the other lightsaber dudes and Vader get, like, told about something like, oh, there's a threat that needs to be exterminated. Like, it's your first big boy job. And they're like, what's this threat that could possibly pose any danger to us? And it's just Jocasta Nu, the fucking librarian, sitting in a cave. That's all you get to see.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. The greatest. Those Jedi, man.
They're dangerous.
That's when it hits, like, okay, you're kind of scraping. You're scraping, guys.
I will say in Volume 2, when they like address all that shit, it's fine. It makes sense. Uh-huh.
It's good. But I'm just saying, they came out of the gate with the guy who was a Jedi who just wanted to fight.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely.
He came out swinging, and then you're like, where's your. There's no. Look. It's hard to measure up to that.
Yeah.
Also, the Darth Vader, like, moment of. His, like, moment of temptation, which is, yep. What if I were good now?
Yeah. Seeing that he could still be redeemed. Yeah. Oh, also, there was a bit
just
of
funny because
he
just drowned a city.
Yeah. There was a bit of a canon change. So in the old lore, Sidious fully designed Vader's suit, and part of this was to explain, well, not even necessarily to explain, but just like to inform that it was like extra sensitive to force lightning. And then I think at some point people must have brought up the debate of, like, couldn't Vader's suit be created in a way to, like, negate lightning? And then, like, no, because Sidious made it. But in here, there's actually a good scene after Vader gets back from his ass kicking. He's, like, floating limbless in a Bacta tank. And Sidious is like, we'll have your armor rebuilt. And then, like, bubbles are just coming out of Anakin.
Yeah.
And he's like, I see that you're upset. You're an engineer. Make it yourself. That's also a good scene.
I mean,
and it's just him that, like.
That's one of those things that's like, yo, this just makes sense, though. Why does this character have this whole backstory of being a fucking engineer if he's not going to make his own robot suit?
Yeah, so there's, like, a nice scene where he, like, closes his eyes, and it's almost like lightsaber assembly or something, like, just all the parts coming together. It's cool. It's good.
Yeah,
to...
no.
I love that shit.
That just made sense.
Mm-hmm. No, 100
but
times
I do
more
like,
sense.
I do like him, like, building it while he's sitting in a vat.
Yeah, the fact that he's, like, yeah, it's just all force.
Putting screws together.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Yeah, no,
it's good.
It's good stuff.
Real good. Yeah, I think that's most of what I have to say on this round of Star Wars comics.
You know, Dr. Aphra still, I would say, is easily the. That's
the cream of the crop.
Yeah. That is good. That is. Grade A comics, I would say.
Yeah.
Dr. Aphra's real good. So I think that's a podcast.
That's a podcast. Don't read.
I think
Kanan.
I think my low point is like early in Kanan. They showed Yoda say, "Do or do not. There is no try," and I'm like, "Come on."
I mean, what? Every old guy has phrases they like to fall back on.
Come on. I mean, honestly, the low point is Darth Vader showing up suddenly to chase R2, and then R2's like, I'm gonna kill Darth Vader.
I'm gonna fucking take him out. There's another alternate universe.
And then C-3PO's like, no, don't do that. That's crazy.
He could have done it, though. Crazy bastard.
I mean, considering what he accomplished in that comic,
he took out like an entire Star Destroyer, basically. People fucking died.
He killed a lot of people.
Like, might have one of the higher body counts if we're not talking about Luke and the Death Star.
I know. That's the thing. There's like psychotic evil R2. Not sure he's killed as many people as R2. Not sure about that. So yeah, you can email us at saltcirclepodcast@gmail.com. Find us on soundcloud.com/saltcircle, Twitter @saltcirclepod, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music. Also, I think Google Podcast is just a separate thing now or something. Or Salt Circle Podcast. Also, you can find me on Twitter @comicpanels.
And I am on Twitter @bean_LP.
May the force be with you.
Gross.